From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. As we begin this new year, we invite you to hear Dr. Cairns as he continues a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. We dwell in Him. Do you want a house for your soul? Do you ask, what is the purchase? It is something less than proud human nature will like to give. It is without money and without price. Ah, you would like to pay a respectable rent. You would love to do something to win Christ. Then you cannot have the house, for it is without price. Will you take my master's house on a lease for all eternity, with nothing to pay for it, nothing but the ground rent of loving and serving Him forever? Will you take Jesus and dwell in Him? See, this house is furnished with all you want. It is filled with riches more than you will spend as long as you live. Here you can have intimate communion with Christ and feast on His love. Here are tables well stored with food for you to live on forever. In it, when weary, you can find rest with Jesus. And from it you can look out and see heaven itself. Will you have the house? Ah, if you are houseless, you will say, I should like to have the house, but may I have it? Yes, there is the key. The key is, come to Jesus. But you say, I am too shabby for such a house. Never mind, there are garments inside. If you feel guilty and condemned, come. And though the house is too good for you, Christ will make you good enough for the house by and by. He will wash you and cleanse you, and you will yet be able to sing, We dwell in Him. Believer, thrice happy art thou to have such a dwelling place. Greatly privileged thou art, for thou hast a strong habitation in which thou art ever safe. And dwelling in Him, thou hast not only a perfect and secure house, but an everlasting one. When this world shall have melted like a dream, our house shall live, and stand more imperishable than marble, more solid than granite, self-existent as God, for it is God Himself. We dwell in Him.
Oh,
facing a time of spiritual darkness, the inspired psalmist declared, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me." It is in the Word of God that we find the answers to life's perplexities. A recently released booklet entitled Songs in the Night is a compilation of key verses from each book of the Bible, selected by Bruce A. Byers, retired professor of French at Bob Jones University. Presented in an attractive full-color format, these verses will help you to receive the comfort of the Scriptures at any occasion, but especially during dark times. For a free copy of Songs in the Night, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Songs in the Night, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled The Weeping Christ, part of this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ. The New Testament records three incidents where the Lord Jesus wept. At the tomb of Lazarus, he shed tears of sympathy. Looking upon Jerusalem, he wept tears of mercy. In Gethsemane, he cried for deliverance in order to complete his divine mission on the cross. From these events, Dr. Cairns has shown how Christ's tears reveal his humanity. In addition, they display his tender-heartedness toward sinners. If Christ wept for his enemies, how much more should we be moved with compassion for the lost souls of this world who fail to understand their danger of dying without a Savior? Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, The Weeping Christ.
See, brethren, I believe this. That a true knowledge of God will never, 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 never leave us with a hard heart. You can't be hard toward God. If you've ever met with Him, it'll melt your heart. You can't be hard toward your brethren. You can't be hard toward sinners. Oh, we may see their wickedness and hate their wickedness. We may see their danger and tell them, you're on your way to a lost eternity. Never forget what the old elder And Robert Murray McChain's church told the young preacher who was entering the pulpit of the departed saint, who asked to be shown where Mr. McShane had knelt to pray before the service, so that he could kneel and pray there too. The elder said, "Yes, son. But when Mr. McShane got up, there was a pool of tears. And that's what moved Scotland for Christ. A man, and McShane, as you will know if you've ever read his sermons, McShane would preach on the sovereignty of God and in the grace of election. And he would preach on the fire, the damnation of hell." It was this same McShane who always pleaded that he would never preach on hell without tears. We're dying, men and women. You and I are going home to glory, or out to the horrors of hell. One or the other. We're here for a little time. How little a time, only God knows. If the Lord Jesus wept o'er Jerusalem, why are there not tears in the eyes of every preacher and every Christian worker? Why have we become so hardened in our hearts that in condemning the wickedness of men, we have no care whether they live or die, go to heaven or are damned in hell? Why do we hide ourselves like hypocrites behind the shield of God's election, as if that gave us an excuse to care nothing for the souls of the lost? Jesus weeps over their sin. Time forbids that I pursue the details. He weeps over their sins. Can I say to you today, if you're in this meeting without Christ, the sins that unforgiven will bring you to an eternal night of weeping in hell. First cause tears to wash the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He weeps over your sins. Your sins, in many ways, are so like those of Jerusalem. You say, "I haven't killed any prophets." Well, that's no thanks to you or your goodness, because in heart you've done the very same thing. God has sent preachers and you rejected them. God has sent truth and you despised it. God has sent gospel and you mocked it. God, as Paul told the Galatians, has evidently set forth the Lord Jesus Christ before you. The Greek word is placarded. He has held up the placard. I don't want to push the metaphor too far, but I don't think it's going too far to say that you can see, to use Paul's word of placarding, you can see sinners on their way to hell, and there stands the blessed Savior protesting your downward march to damnation, placarding the gospel to you. What sin it is to reject Christ. What sin it is to be so wrapped up with the filth and the folly of this world that Jesus Christ is despicable. What sin it is that when God sends the beauty of the beautiful Son of God into the world to save sinners, you look at him and you say, there is no beauty in him for me to desire him. Oh, there's beauty in a Hollywood harlot. There's beauty in the filthy music of the world. There's beauty in the carnal devices of this filthy age. Oh yes, there's plenty there that I desire. But when I see Jesus, there's nothing in him to attract me. What vile and filthy sin. Is it any wonder that Jesus wept? He weeps over your stubbornness. Here again, we have depths of the tender humanity of Christ that I cannot plumb. Here again, there are things that logic cannot penetrate. But I have to take the words of the Savior as truth. He looks at these people perishing in their sin, and he said, how often would I have gathered you, and you would not? How often would I, but you would not? The often tells you of the perseverance and the kindness of the Savior. But it also tells you of the stubbornness of the Christ rejecter. I want to be very frank with you. There are people here I have preached to for years, and you're still not seeing it. There are people here, and again and again and again and again and again, there has been the word of gospel truth and grace, and stubbornly, willfully, wickedly, you said, I will not have this man. I will not. The Lord Jesus said in John 5:40, that's the trouble. Ye will not come to me. He weeps over the stubbornness. And then over the suffering. Your house is left unto you desolate. In chapter 19, he talks about the awful suffering of the city. And he says, because you knew not the time of your visitation. If thou hadst known, the idea is, oh, that you would have recognized. Even you, with all your sin and all your stubbornness, oh, that you would recognize, at least in this thy day, the things that belong to your peace. Oh, that you would recognize the things that would really give you peace. Oh, that you would recognize the things that are needed to bring you to peace with God through Jesus Christ. He says, this is your day. This is your day. This is the day to recognize it, because there's a day coming when it will be too late to see it. I would say to you this morning, first of all, if you are not a Christian, look at the friend of sinners. Look at the weeping Christ. And for a moment, forget about Jerusalem. Come to Greenville. Come to your home. Come to your heart. And hear his dreadful lamentation. I wonder, will you go on as unmoved, as stubborn, as careless, as did most of those Jews, to perish and that eternally? Thank God there were others melted in God's grace by the tears of Jesus. There were others saved and brought to grace. Which will it be for you? And if you are a Christian, I ask you as I ask myself, what do I know of the tenderness of Christ for the lost? If he said, I would gather them, I wonder, can I honestly say, by the grace of God, I would gather them to Christ? Paul said that I might by all means save some. That was the driving force in his life. Oh, that by all means I would save some. Now, Paul knew he couldn't save anybody. Only Christ could do that. But this was the passion. God save us from academic religion. God save us from dead orthodoxy, which is only dressed up heterodoxy. God save us from intellectualizing the gospel to the extent that we lose the heart. God give us a passion like that of Christ, that we may truly weep as our Savior wept for sinners.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.